I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone, to this week's edition of Readin', Writin', and Reason with Dom Giordano. And boy, a lot is happening in the field of education. We have some great guests coming up here, too. A parent who led a protest out in North Penn over this alleged brutal attack on somebody in a cafeteria that involves all kinds of issues. But first, the big story nationally, the big story we're even seeing it play out here locally, college campuses. Let's contrast what's going on at Columbia University, the Ivy League, the elite of the elite in New York, and the nonsense that's going on there with students who, it was found in their little tents, it seemed pretty chic, are eating gluten-free materials, etc., as they ignorantly continue to say, we should do what? Well, we ought to free Palestine. And that means what? Where does the state of Israel go then? Well, you figure it out what we're going to do to people that are there. Contrast that, how that's been handled by the ineffectual college president there, who I didn't check how much he makes a year, but it's probably close to $1 million a year. That's usual Ivy League. What happens there versus what happened at the University of Texas at Austin, where due to Governor Abbott and others, when people were starting to mass the same kind of activities they were doing at Columbia, they didn't even get that far. They brought in all kinds of police and other forces to stop the nonsense on campus. And they're prepared to do it again. But here locally, this week, we had the University of Penn protest again, St. Joe's University, Temple, and Swarthmore. Cousin to the Ivy League, kind of, with tents, the tent city there, but Swarthmore apparently doesn't care. You can do whatever you want there, it appears. So we'll see how this continues to play out. We'll see if they disrupt other major functions, these mobs. There are rumors they want to disrupt the correspondence dinner with President Biden. We'll see if they follow through if they do that. While all this was going on, and it didn't get as much fanfare because people probably realize we're pretty far away from TikTok becoming an American company, even though by law that's supposed to happen. There's going to be a massive court battle over this about TikTok. And I'm kind of surprised with a lot of listeners to my noon to three show on Talk Radio 1210. There's been a sea change. I'm not sure why, about TikTok, the Communist Chinese Party, the algorithm they use, spying, and all the things that they're doing with kids, all these stunts, etc. And there's a lot of evidence out there now about how many messages can be accessed involving suicide. Not a good thing. So again, this would go to an American company with a different mindset and controls. And I'm still on board saying this is that much of a threat, TikTok, that this is exactly the outcome and where it should go. Bob Casey Jr., Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, did vote to do that. President Biden is using it extensively, but sending signals something ought to be done about TikTok. President Trump is on the other side now. I'm still on the same side I was in the beginning, which is this is a threat and something needs to be done. The other thing this week that still hasn't fully broken is apparently the NCAA Board of Governors meeting to craft a statement, a policy around the issue of transgendered athletes, biological males at one point or another competing against females. So far, they haven't done it. 400 athletes led by Megan Rapinoe, Sue Bird and others have spoken out saying the bigotry of this. How could you even consider it? Meanwhile, Riley Gaines and others are saying just do what the NAIA did, the smaller colleges, and say, no, we're not going to allow this. So that could break at any point. And if the NCAA, in my view, does the right thing, then I think you're going to see others fall in line. One other thing that I've always been in favor of, as you may know, you listen to this or listen to the radio show, I'm a former teacher. Taught at all kinds of levels over a number of years before being discovered and doing talk radio. Tennessee lawmakers this week, about a year after the Nashville shooting of allegedly a transgender individual, we still haven't read her manifesto telling us the reason for it. They're under fire because they have passed a bill that would let some teachers and staff carry concealed handguns on public school grounds. And I support this. 68-28 vote in favor of the bill, Senate to Republican Governor Bill Lee for consideration. If he signs it into law, it would be the biggest expansion of gun access in the state since that shooting. There were people that opposed this. Now, they're not just willy-nilly going to have people concealed carry. They have to go through at least 40 hours of training. In addition to other things, that other restrictions that would be involved here, 40 hours of handgun training. They couldn't carry guns at school events, at stadiums, gymnasiums, or auditoriums. I think this makes sense for the simple reason there was no one that day when the alleged killer went into that Nashville school, private school, to return fire. She was able to wander while police were getting there, apparently. Hallways, corridors, gunning people down. We've seen it before so many times. What you want to do in a situation like that, you want to occupy the shooter until enough police can get there, meaning if they are suspecting they might be fired upon and or they're actually being fired upon, then they cannot mow down. We may not stop them from killing someone, but they're not going to kill a lot of someones. Of course, those that haven't been in schools ask, how is this possible? Do we trust teachers? The NJEA, the NEA, the AFT, they apparently don't trust teachers. I trust teachers with training to be able to carry this out. Teachers and others. You could have the athletic department director. You could have a vice principal. I mean, people with offices that can have a place to store the gun if necessary. All right, so it doesn't have to be everybody that is going to have to carry a gun on them. They would have ready access to it. And if you have two or three people that can do that and a threat occurs, or if you publicize broadly, we have people that have concealed carry, we know that, you put up gun-free zone, and that is what attracts people to come to those areas to murder young people. So I think Tennessee is doing the right thing. We'll see how this plays out. It could be a massive number of people in the state like Tennessee that do this. And I think their schools would be safer than other schools that are relying haphazardly on police or not police or random stuff and praying that nothing happens. All right, so we'll have more on that coming up. Here locally, the North Penn School District had this situation where we had a parent protest because of an horrific alleged physical attack of one student recently transferred to the school, the middle school in North Penn School District, hitting another student over the head with a Stanley Cup, one of those very popular drinking cups, okay, causing severe damage. And there were allegations of somebody, of the student possibly being transgender. We're going to be joined next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason by one of the parents who led a protest against the school district. Stephanie Pawlikak is going to join us to talk about that protest and what information they want from the school and what they want done. You'll get all of that coming up here on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm gonna teach ya. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano. This week in the Philadelphia area, this North Penn School District story was amazing, of a student attacking another student. Everyone seems to agree on that. Severe injuries in a cafeteria. Parents wanted to get to the bottom of why the alleged attacker was allowed to be in the cafeteria, given a lot of disturbing things that went on before that. Some speculated there was a transgender aspect to this. I was joined by one of the parents who led a protest of parents, ultimately got a meeting with the superintendent, I don't think are still satisfied, to get to the bottom of what happened in the North Penn School District. Moving testimony we played you by a 12-year-old who was on a hit list, she believed too, and told counselors about it. Joining us here on Reading, Writing, and Reason is Stephanie Pawlikak. I interviewed Stephanie during the radio show this week around this protest. Here's what Stephanie told me about what she wants from the North Penn School District. Stephanie, thanks for taking time out to join us. What did you do with the protest today? What was the point and what were your parents saying there?
So basically, me and another mother, Nicole, organized this protest to, you know, just because we want answers. We want accountability. Why was this allowed to happen when, as you heard from that video clip that you just shared, breaks my heart hearing her, you know, recant the story. How did it even get to this point to where this child was attacked? When staff was made aware of this numerous times, this child had went and the little girl you just heard, you know, reported it the day before. There was something called a hit list that this child had in their short 3 days at our school of children that they wanted to beat up. And it was reported by parents. Kids, like, went to their counselors. They went to their parents. Their parents, a good friend of mine, you know, called the school, emailed the school, and she was followed up with a generic email. The student in question is being spoken to. The day of the attack, the little girl that you just shared in her clip, she went to the counselors 5 hours before and said, hey, there's rumors of this is something bad's going to happen at lunch. You know, they were all scared. And so they took the child, the attacker, and had them stay in the office all day. And they allowed the child to go to the lunchroom to get lunch, even though in that this is where the attack was supposed to take place. They allowed the child to go to the lunchroom with a aide, and the child was able to break free from the aide and do this vicious attack.
Wow. No, Stephanie, that's new details. So, yeah, you know, given the climate in schools now, when I was teaching, they would have done something more directly. They kept, allegedly, the child in the office. Then they have to go to lunch, but this is the very period. Weren't they aware of?
They were warned about, yes.
Wow. And with an aide. So there was an aide there, and they can't stop this person from still getting a Stanley Cup and bashing. So, Stephanie, since the protest this morning and all that, have you guys met with school officials? And if so, can you tell us anything of where we are now?
I mean, honestly, we had a meeting, me and the other mother, with the superintendent. And, you know, I do feel like he's trying to rectify the situation. But sometimes things are too little too late. And, you know, the answers that we're getting are still very generic. They can't talk a lot. And they said we'll have more information in the coming weeks. They are hiring a third party outside of the district company to investigate, but it can take up until possibly the end of the school year to get answers, which is unacceptable. People within the school need to be held accountable, whether that's placed on leave without pay. I don't know, but like somebody needs to be held accountable because an innocent little girl was attacked and scarred for life, and our students were traumatized.
All right, let's break down. Let's go back to now. What was the motivation of this student to come up with a list and do all this? Just gut instinct that we don't know. Did he feel they were being harassed, their teased? I'm talking about the attacker.
The attacker, I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't personally know what led the attacker to this. All that I know from, you know, doing my own personal parental investigation and speaking with other parents and people within the district that are not to be named. You know, this child has been a problem since second grade with violent histories and just probably shouldn't have been allowed to attend school. I don't know why they were transferred to our school. That's still a mystery to us. You know, and we're not getting answers, and that's what we're calling for.
And Stephanie, how does all this evidence, at least mounting it appears to be, Delaware Valley Journal, they're good journalists, Linda over there. I saw another interview with a mom who looked at a yearbook picture, and the child was transitioning, apparently. What's your sense of how the transgender part either plays into the attack or plays into the dragging of feet here not to say anything?
Yeah, I really don't know much on that.
Okay.
I can't comment on that. I can comment on the fact that, like, we just want this school district held accountable and we want answers. And, you know, moving forward, if apparently they're whatever policy they have in place for safety is not good enough and that needs to be revised, and people need to step down if need be, if they can't do their jobs correctly to protect our students.
Well, but let me just not push back, but just say to you, though, that's why I asked the transgender thing. They did hold the student in the office. They also did send to lunch with an aide for that protection. Now, it didn't work, true. I would be asking, well, why? Why does this person get this type of pass based upon the facts as we know them, Stephanie, I think you agree, they shouldn't have been in school.
No, they shouldn't have been in school, 100%. They should, with the threats that were made in the short 2 days before the attack, they should have been in an out-of-school suspension.
So, go ahead, Stephanie.
I don't know why they got a pass. I really don't. Your guess is as good as mine. I really have no idea, and I would like those answers, too, and we're just not getting them.
Was your daughter, you have a seventh grader, right? Was she in the lunchroom during that time?
Yes, she was. She called me hysterical, crying, "Mom, help. I'm scared. There's blood everywhere." And the phone went dead on me. And because she hung up on me, because she was being told to hang up by the teachers, not to call your parents. Don't call your parents. They were telling students. And kids were still texting and calling their parents. Of course, I started flying there immediately. I happened to be on my lunch break, which was right down the road. And I flew there. You know, got there as fast as I could and found out that, you know, what the real situation was. And I pulled my daughter out. She didn't actually witness the attack firsthand because she was a few tables away. But she heard the hits with the Stanley because it was very loud. And she seen the blood on the floor. She seen the victim bleeding, being ushered out of the lunchroom when I picked her up. She saw the victim again, you know, getting ready to be transported by ambulance. And she was like, you know, just pretty bloody. So, you know, for a child, that's very upsetting to see, you know.
Yeah.
And I can imagine what it feels like to be that poor girl or her family, you know. It's like heartbreaking.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think the other person could have been charged even more. So, Stephanie, you've met with the superintendent. You've told us about that. What's next here in the near future? Do you wait for a report, or is there something else?
We have another school board meeting coming up on the 14th of May.
Okay.
That we're going to attend, and hopefully we can, he said he might be able to give us more answers then. So we have to right now wait. Honestly, I was considering trying to stage a walkout for the students to make a stand. Everything's up in the air. It's just been such a crazy week. It's just like, I don't know. I just feel just numb from all of this. It's just been so unreal. You don't ever want to get that phone call from your kid. And then, you know, not getting accountability just makes it worse. What kind of message does it send to our kids? You know?
Well, look, and we realize I'm a former teacher before I started doing this years ago, Stephanie, and there are restrictions they have, but they pale in comparison to giving some straightforward answers here in this situation. Like, how in the world did somebody come in there in 2 days and already have a hit list? That's indicative, it seems to me, of what happened in the other school setting. That's pretty quick to develop this sort of attack just in a couple of days.
Yeah, it is. And again, like I said, from my knowledge and what I've come to understand, that this is a problem throughout their years in school.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Well, Stephanie, thank you. And I know, again, how traumatic that's got to be as a parent. Your daughter tells you that, and then they have to hang up, and you're flying over there. My God. Blood everywhere.
Her slogan today was, "Violence equals no silence."
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Stephanie, thank you. You please stay in touch with Dan. If there's any update on anything you want to say, we're open to hear that. All right, this story is not over. We'll continue to stay on it. We're in touch with them. It is an amazing story with listeners this week with all that's gone on. And the reason is the severity of the injuries, the attack. Why was this not prevented given all the warning signs? And why was it mysteriously underplayed even after the attack? And the allegation at one point that this student allegedly, according to some reports, may have swung a water jug or something at cops at a judiciary hearing on all this. We'll have a lot more of this as we continue with Reading, Writing, and Reason. But coming up, the story went national. Chris Tramaglia, who's a columnist at the Washington Examiner, a friend of the show, he joined us this week to tell us why he wrote about this nationally. That's next on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm gonna teach ya!
Hey, welcome in again to Reading, Writing, and Reason. Chris Tremaglia is a frequent guest on the Dom Giordano Show. I met him at the University of Pennsylvania when he was a student there, and we talked about a number of things. He's now gone national as a columnist for the Washington Examiner. He joined us to explain why this story of an attack in the North Penn School District of a student being hit with a Stanley Cup, one of those cup holes, you know, that are very, very popular, why that went national. Here's what Chris told me. So, Chris, one of the things Dan told me, too, you notice the judge in this case, this is in the aftermath of this, issued a formal injunction against news media not to be poking around with this student. Now, I thought with a minor, clearly this is a minor, isn't that something that almost always happens, you know, that since they're a juvenile minor, you can only do so much? What do you see is different in the judge in this case?
Well, actually, the main thing there was, as you brought up, yes, in these particular situations, minors do traditionally have their identity revealed. So that's not in it of itself. But to issue a court order, that is to do such a thing and to view, like, to mandate that no publication, no entity, no individual can mention this person's identity, and as I said, for the judge to do it through a court order, that is something that is not done in usual practice. And I actually confirmed that with the Upper Gwynedd chief of police as well, because I was under the impression the main thing, like, if you're a minor, you don't get your identity revealed. But for a judge to actually issue an order, that is a rare step. And it kind of raises a bunch of questions, because in the judge's statement, he specifically mentioned wanting to protect the privacy of the attacker. And he prioritized wanting to protect the privacy of the attacker, but didn't really seem to have that same priority or outright concern for the victim here, who was this 12-year-old girl who was brutally attacked and beaten with a Stanley Cup tumbler at the school last week. And it just kind of, it's just hard to not get angry about hearing about this, because the whole thing is just indicative of what the radical left is doing regarding instances in which radical genderology and, you know, people are transgender are involved. They're going all these ways and doing all these extra things to coddle and protect them, even when they do things such as egregiously bad as this, and participate in not only actually attacking a 12-year-old student, but also attacking sheriff deputies at the hearing in which the transgender student had to go to because of the violent act that he did.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you know, Chris, as a term of art, how this would work? But if someone is transitioning or someone is claiming gender identity, I'm assuming that's a protected class if you're in special. Now, my master's is in special ed, and I know when you have a special ed student, revealing almost anything, even if necessary here, I mean, if it's so bad with the student coming from one school to this school, this alleged attack, I'll say, even though I think everybody agrees it happened, then the alleged attack on the deputies, it shouldn't matter that you have special ed needs and you're designated something. It should be then that you have to be placed in another setting, that you're dangerous to yourself and others.
Correct. I'd absolutely agree with you there. And I think it just goes back to, I mean, there were so many issues and layers involved with this whole thing. First, there was the refusal of school district officials, school administration officials, law enforcement officials to confirm the gender identity of the attacker. I mean, it would had if it wasn't for parents coming forward and admitting this, it would still be unknown that the attacker was a transgender student. Because when I tried to contact the school district, the school board, everyone denied refused to clarify. The police said that their gender was not part of the investigation, and therefore they couldn't comment. When I contacted North Penn School District, they referred me to a basically vague statement on their website. But in addition to that, there were other things that happened in the incident which were just had nothing to do with gender. I think just kind of like a systemic failure of the school in general. There were warnings of this person having an attack. School students went to guidance counselors and school officials expressing fear and worry that this was going to happen, and were told by the teachers, or I shouldn't say teachers, school officials, not to worry about it. And it's hard to say why they said that, but I could definitely make a case that maybe they didn't. They said not to worry about it and didn't do the things that were necessary to prevent the attack because of the gender identity of student, and they didn't want to cause a ruckus or cause controversy of taking extra preventative measures against this student because of their gender identity. Whereas if it was just a normal student, one could make the argument, again, this is purely speculative, that they would have taken precautions.
Yeah.
So it's a sad realization of the society we live in and how things are in the current climate, and they need to change.
Now, Chris, I've read in a couple of news accounts, so I'll say alleged in this, that the student was only at this school
alleged
for a couple of days from a previous school. And it's surprising to me the Upper Gwinnett if they said no comment, okay, but if they said that's not part of the investigation, it would seem to me, though, what's the motivation for this student doing this? Were they being teased? Were they being harassed, at least in their mind, that it was such an open secret that students went to guidance counselors? That one little girl was very, very valid, I think, in saying, why was something not done here? Some kind of watchful eye, and that leads us all the way back to this whole thing with the transgender part of it. And Chris, if that turns out to be the case, it would seem to be obvious in the end after the investigation, but I would point out we still don't have the Nashville shooters manifesto when it comes to this issue.
Right.
They're just saying, as a matter of course, we're not going to let you know anything. And I don't think that's legal if it's part of the motivation, part of the issue that happened here.
I would agree with you. And the great point that you brought up on the Nashville shooter, because, I mean, like you said, we're still waiting for that. And it's that those type of things that happen with the transgender that raises these questions and raises these red flags that probably don't need to be raised or shouldn't be raised in a normal situation, because, you know, it was brutal enough to happen without playing the left-wing radical politics and all this. And then you mentioned the little girl that was testifying. I believe her name was Emily. One of the students talking about the other systemic failures of the school here, and a potential cover-up, and this is why I think there's more to the story, there's obviously more to the story and a cover-up, is in her testimony before the school board, she was saying, she exposed, and she deserves a lot of credit for being brave and courageous to say this. The school district in its official statement said after the attack had occurred, they held the students in their lunch cafeteria for a total of 8 minutes. And during Emily's testimony, she brought up that it wasn't actually 8 minutes. And her words, I'm paraphrasing her, was something to the effect of that she timed the whole thing, and it was actually 28 minutes.
Wow.
So if the school, and again, this is from based on her testimony, if the school is saying, you know, lying or misleading about this, then what else, you know, are they going to be lying about? What other things are they not telling the truth on and misleading on? And that just raises a whole bunch of questions that need to be answered.
Chris, great job as always, too. Washington Examiner. It seems like you were in there 3, 4, or 5 times a week. Is there a website for you, Chris?
Sure. You can search me on the Washington Examiner, or most likely, best, probably follow me on my Twitter account, at Chris W. Tremo on Twitter.
All right, Chris.
Now, I guess it's like.
Chris, thank you, as always, and to be continued. We have the mom coming up at 2 o'clock that led the protest. They may have spoken to the superintendent. We're going to find out.
All right. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Chris Tremaglia, this story, he's on it. There are people covering this. We'll get to the bottom of exactly why this went on, why it was allowed to go on, it appears to be, and why they couldn't contain this one student, even with someone that brought the student to the cafeteria. Coming up, though, Jeff Nash, a commissioner out there in Camden County, joined me this week to talk about the fact that Eastern High School, he believed, was going to be allowing a rally, a walkout that was school sanctioned, that he believed would make things incredibly difficult for Jewish students at Eastern High School over in Voorhees. He is next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
I'm gonna teach ya.
Hey, welcome back in, everyone, to Reading, Writing, and Reason. Jeff Nash joined me this week on the radio show. He is a commissioner of Camden County. And he and another commissioner wrote letters and went public telling Eastern High School they should not allow students to walk out and essentially engage in conduct that they thought would be detrimental or even hateful toward Jewish students around all that's going on with Gaza. Here's what Jeff Nash told me. Why he led the charge on this. Hey, Jeffrey, welcome to the show. I think we've met. Don't know if you've ever been on, but I appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, we did meet. I was on a few years ago on another story, but it's great to be back.
Well, I'm in complete support of this, and I think your efforts, I don't know if the other commissioner was Lou, who, you know, I know for years on this. Well, what's the evidence? Why did you see this as an intentional effort to create a hostile and isolating environment for Jewish students?
Yeah, and that student pointed to an event that occurred after the horrific terrorist attack on Israel that killed, tortured, and kidnapped more than 1,000 innocent people. There's a difference between the two, but what made me outraged and what made many parents who have students in this school, both Jewish and non-Jewish students, outraged, is that this was identified as a Free Palestine rally. This was not a peace rally. This was not in support of the people who may have been caught in the crossfire in Gaza. This is a rally to free Palestine, which is code for the destruction of the Jewish state, which entails the genocide of the Jewish people, Israelis that live there. It's absolutely anti-Semitic in tone. And while you might want to hide behind the First Amendment and say that this is free speech, hate speech that causes fear is not free speech and should not be allowed and certainly not endorsed by the school district.
Well, you know, I'm glad you clarified that because I'm reading this. I'm opposed to it anyhow, kids walking out of school. I understand the game here. The media not covering it that way. If they did, this could be a good learning moment. Yes, free Palestine, there is no such thing, there is no such place, is anti-Semitic, it's hateful, and the only way to do that would be to kill a lot of people that are there.
Right, exactly. And listen, we see what's going on with several of these protests. If educators had not learned the lesson from the congressional hearings that involved the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard University, then they'll never learn. You cannot thread the needle here. This is hate speech. This is designed to intimidate Jewish students. And my feeling is that a school, especially a high school, should be a safe place for all students. And this was designed. Now, there has been an update. I'm not sure if you have reported, but there has been an update. And fortunately, the students, to their credit, came together and they have agreed to cancel the event that was scheduled for Friday. I think it was spinning out of control as some pro-Hamas groups tried to intervene and to participate in the Eastern High School event, which was inevitable, obviously, at least clear to me. And they have agreed to a peace rally on May the 20th, and that they will join together to call for peace generically, and that is a positive solution to what was a very difficult and ugly problem.
Well, I agree with you. I'm looking at the placard now, the folder that went out, and it does say Viva Palestine here. And again, Jeffrey, this gets at what are these kids, where are they getting their information, TikTok generation and all that. But you think schools, maybe under the guise of, well, we have to be even-handedness, and even-handedness to the point here would say Free Palestine is not even-handedness. It is just hatred.
Right. Exactly. And it was and stop the bombing in Gaza while, you know, every day Israelis are facing bombs coming from both sides of their country. But irrespective of that, this is a high school. You should not have, you should not endorse a high school walkout by a group that is calling for death and destruction of a people. It's just unacceptable.
Right. And again, as commissioner, did you get any blowback on this? In other words, pushback, what do commissioners have to do with this? This is an educational issue.
Well, I did receive a lot of many responses, mostly online and my email address. But I will tell you that it was mostly favorable. Many of the parents, or presumably the parents of students there, were grateful that somebody stepped up and said something. So Melinda Kane was the commissioner who said that
Melinda.
With me.
Yeah, I know Melinda. And, yes.
Yep. Yeah, Melinda, she's been my colleague for years and a Gold Star mom. So she knows firsthand what pain and sacrifice means. And she stepped up and wrote the letter with me. So we prepared that letter that was delivered to the superintendent, and hopefully it was a part in having this decision reversed.
Well, again, I'm all in agreement with what on paper they're going to be doing, Jeffrey. I just think, there has to be more information. I'm sure people will say, what about the other side? And we're only 6 months out from what happened on October 7th. It should surprise people. You would think, Jeff, too, that the school would be looking at Columbia University and what's going on there and might think there's a lot of misinformation out there that Free Palestine is not a good idea.
All right, exactly. And even, I don't know how many times history has to repeat itself for people to understand what's going on, but I'm glad things turned in a better direction at Eastern Regional.
Absolutely. Jeff, thank you. Thanks so much. Hopefully we'll talk again real soon. Thank you, Jeff.
Great. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
All right, that was a really good interview with Jeff Nash. He did exactly the right thing, and thank God they were able to stop some of the worst of this. We'll see what they do at their rally that's planned on May 20th over at Eastern High School. It's been a big week here on Reading, Writing, and Reason. As we close the week, one of the issues that we talk about a lot is this so-called equity, which really means many times dumbing things down to the lower end versus raising people up to the higher end. Thomas Jefferson High School over in Fairfax County, Virginia, used to be the number one rated school by all kinds of people in the country. Now, because of all the battles that have gone on, some of which is removing the percentage of Asian students, it is now dropped out of the top 10 for the first time in the U.S. News list of top U.S. high schools, falling from being number one from 2022 to number five in 2023 to now number 14 in 2024. And these rankings, you can argue anything you want about them. The student body is still 70% Asian American
It should be the best and the brightest. It's at Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. But due to this bias towards so-called equity, it is going downhill rapidly. It's just another example of DEI, progressive think, being woke, that just doesn't work. And again, they've taken a school that was remarkable, and they're now having it slide toward mediocrity. But that's what you get when you go down with this progressive scheming. We'll have more on this story, too, as it develops. Thanks for listening this week to Reading, Writing, and Reason. Thanks for Dan for producing. Tell people about it wherever you get your podcast, you can get it, or you can listen to it on the weekends here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You can follow me on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. Have a great rest of the weekend. And again, tell people, please, about Reading, Writing, and Reason.
You need a lesson, gonna bring it to you now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.